From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad you are on board today. As always, thanks so much. Take a listen to us. We certainly appreciate you hanging out with us today, this Thursday. And we are getting ready for tonight's program as the Bill Michaels Huddle back on the road again this evening. Going to be at Bullwinkle's in Brookfield. Looking forward to that out in that area. Blue Mountain Road out there near Gerke's Corners. Always a good time. Always fun out there. Chuck Freeman from Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. He's going to be our guest out there tonight. And don't forget, when you walk in the door, look to the left. We're under the moose. That's the best part about it. We're under the moose. When people say, hey, where are you going to be? I just look under the moose. Don't really say that very often. I should probably put it on a T-shirt, but that's where you can find us. The Bucks getting ready to take on the Golden State Warriors tonight. You know, in the grand scheme of things, it's just a game. But I think much like going back to, say, Philadelphia or even Boston, this is one of those games that's a little bit bigger. This is one of those games that you can look at as if you win it, it can be relevant. It can be telling. If you lose it, it's just a game early on in the season, right? That's the way a lot of us will look at it. Look, I look at it this way. This is going to be a team that's going to bomb from the outside. The Bucks are going to have to play a semblance of defense, some type of defense. You're going to have to hope that Golden State goes a little bit cold. Is it Draymond's not playing tonight, Joe?
Correct.
Draymond's not going to be playing tonight. He's out. So they get a little bit of a break. But for the most part, it's going to be 3 points versus 3 points versus 3 points versus 3 points all night long. A little bit inside play. And the one area the Bucks excel has been defensive boards. And if they can continue to kind of keep Golden State off of the boards, if indeed Golden State goes through a lull at any point in time and they're not hitting as consistently, then the Bucks can accelerate there, but the Bucks are going to have to bring absolute, when you talk about shooting threes, you're going to have to bring absolute A game this evening if you're going to beat Golden State, specifically out there at the Oracle, where they just play so extremely well. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Draymond Green going to be out. He's got that toe injury he's been nursing for a while. Got it hurt in the first half of Monday's win over the Grizzlies. And didn't come back in the second half, so looks like he's going to be out. Jordan Bell's going to play a little bit more. They're going to play Alphonso McKinney at the four a little bit. Andre Iguodala probably play a little bit over there. So they've already got some good minutes out of some other guys. I mean, Draymond is a mainstay, is a staple, but it's not going to be completely detrimental to them. They're also going to be without veteran guard Sean Livingston, who's going to miss his sixth straight game because of that foot soreness that he's been kind of nursing. So without Draymond, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Maybe the Bucks can take advantage of something like that. So they're hoping to get a win tonight. I know a lot of Bucks fans are putting a lot of stock in this one. And look, you got Steph Curry on the floor and you get a win, that's a big deal. Because Steph Curry, as we all know, is one of the faces of the NBA. He's a legit superstar. So you get a win over Steph Curry and company tonight, that's a big deal. I'm excited about this one. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you are a Bucks fan, how much stock are you putting into tonight's game? Now, I don't think this is going to be a foreshadowing, maybe, for what's to come, say, during the postseason, come April. But certainly it's a litmus test to find out where the Bucks are. He just lost to a pretty good Portland team. And Portland, really, they put it on you more so in the second half. In the fourth quarter, it just wasn't much of a game. See how you bounce back from that. You got a little bit of rest time, too, in that game for Giannis. So Giannis should come back tonight with fresh legs. And I'm anxious to see how he performs. But
going to be very interesting. Despite the fact the Bucks have been playing very good basketball this season, and really overall defensively, it hasn't been all that bad. The defensive breakdowns have been in games against star players, against Kyrie Irving in Boston, against CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard in this game against Portland. The thing is, Budenholzer has this specific scheme where he wants to force these opposing players to throw up mid-range jump shots, that he doesn't want stuff to be being scored in the paint easily. He doesn't want three-point shots. But the thing is, Portland was a very good jump shooting team. They were very good in the mid-range, and they went 19 of 24 in that game. And that's a big reason why Portland was able to come out and win. But the thing is, does Budenholzer adjust the scheme tonight to deal with guys like Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant? Because we all know what these guys are. Will the scheme change tonight, or is the idea going to be, we want to try to force them to throw up mid-range jump shots? The other thing, too, is, you know, these high ball screens where Brook Lopez has to drop back into the paint, and now all of a sudden on a screen, you're leaving the shooter wide open at the top of the key. That's another thing that might need to be adjusted tonight a little bit, because you cannot allow a team like Golden State to get that wide open shooting three-pointers at the top. That's the other big thing. So I'm curious to see, will Budenholzer try to adjust his defensive scheme tonight, or does he just roll with what he has right now?
When you look at some of the teams that they have faced, when you talk about defending the three, a team like, say, the 76ers, they shoot the ball really well. They don't defend the three very well. The Bucks shoot the ball really well. They don't defend the three great. They're getting there, but there's just far too many one arms sticking in the air as far as defending the three. As a matter of fact, they're down on the list when it comes to defending the three-point, only 38% on the outside, where some of the other teams that have been better, like Oklahoma City, Detroit, and Denver, have been much, much better at defending the three.
Yeah, but you know what? One of the things we've seen in this scheme, you know, under Kidd, what was the most annoying thing with his scheme? How many times would you...
Well, he was always trying to double and then leaving guys wide open on the top of the key.
Well, not just the top of the key, in the corner. We all know the corner is the easiest place to take a three-point shot. And how many times did we see guys get wide open in the corner and it would just kill you because they drain it every single time? The Bucks right now, they're one of the better NBA teams in not allowing guys to take shots when it comes to corner threes. That I mean, you talk about night and day between Budenholzer and Kidd. Oh, man. I personally like this scheme that Budenholzer's put together. But when you're dealing with superstar-type players, how much of an adjustment can you really make? Or does he stick with the script again tonight? And maybe that's one of the criticisms Bucks fans will have, is if he sticks with the script tonight and you see these guys hitting these open mid-range shots and draining them every time, you know some Bucks fans are going to be upset about that.
Well, they're facing a team tonight that is number one at three-point percentage. So they got their defensive work cut out for them. Clippers number two, Sacramento number three. The Spurs are number four. And oddly enough, the Bucks are number five when it comes to three-point shooting. So
all I want tonight, Bill, even if they don't win, just keep it close. Keep it close. And be with them all the way through the fourth quarter. You know, if it's a down-to-wire game, I'm fine with that. If they lose by 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 points, I'm fine with that. Just keep pace with these guys tonight.
855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. If you want to give us a shout, by all means, do so. Go ahead and give us a call. Let's go to Michael on the south side. Michael, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
I just got a question. You know, with a couple players coming off the books at the end of the season, you know, what can the Bucks possibly do to try to land Middleton to stay here? Let Bledsoe walk and maybe go out and get Walker. And if you get Kemba Walker, do you put the Bucks ahead in the East now in front of the Celtics, depending on what Kyrie does? And what are they going to do with Thon Maker? I mean, you got Baker as an assistant coach who, you know, had a pretty decent career. You would think he'd be learning some moves down there in the paint,
right,
and everything, and, you know, and be way smarter on defense, because even to this day, when he gets a couple minutes in the fourth quarters, he still looks pretty lost.
Right. Well, as far as getting Kemba Walker, I know that last year there was talk, I appreciate the phone call, there was talk about possibly moving him at the trade deadline, and they never did. He's already indicated he's out of Charlotte, so we'll find out if he, you know, if they're going to try to deal him by the trade deadline, or if they're going to maybe try to make him, if he's going to go into free agency and then get bigger money out there, obviously, elsewhere. If he's just, because here's the thing. If you can sign him and keep him, great. But you don't want him on a trade where he's just still going to test free agency by the time it's all said and done. I don't know if I would do, with Kyrie in Boston, I don't think I'd put them ahead of the Celtics. But if they picked up Kemba Walker, I would certainly say that they're right there. But I don't think I would put them ahead. Kyrie and company in Boston, man. They got a ton of talent there. They're just kind of – see, I want to see how – see, here's the thing. In Cleveland, it was always LeBron, and they'd start off slow. And you'd say, boy, this is not good. Cleveland just hasn't been able to get it together. And they always figure out a way at the end to kind of put it all together. All the talent would start to jive. I want to see if the same thing happens in Boston. If they just go on a run mid to late season where they just start eating everybody up and start peaking towards the end and towards the postseason. Because I love their coach. I love what they got going on over there. There's a culture over there that seems to, you know, just be great for everybody on that team. But I would love to see Kemba Walker coming to Milwaukee. That'd be good. As far as Thon Maker goes, this is Thon Maker's proving year. I mean, Thon Maker got buried last year pretty much. He's not getting a ton of minutes right now, but he's giving him some opportunities. But this is his proving year. I mean, you got to see progression out of Thon Maker. Otherwise, that's just kind of one of those wasted picks where, yeah, it's a big man. He's got a ton of talent, but the talent's never going to be realized. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. For a big night coming up tonight for the Milwaukee Bucks on the road, taking on the Golden State Warriors. Does the game have significant meaning? 855-830-8648. This portion of the program being brought to you by Quick Trip. Don't forget, get the rewards card right now, because if you get the Johnsonville brats or the Better Cheddars, you can get those. You can also get some brew. You can also get some Quickery buns. And in addition to that, if you have the rewards card and you're swiping that, you're using it, putting your phone number in there, you can get up to 40 cents off per gallon of gas. I'm not kidding you. All you got to do is apply. All you got to do is either go to Quick Trip with a K, quicktrip.com, or stop in any Quick Trip location and get yourself a rewards card. And I'm not kidding. The stuff pays dividends. It's fantastic. 855-830-8648. More of the Bill Michaels Show up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Continues. We are glad you are on board today. As always, Bucks tonight taking on the Golden State Warriors. Give me your thoughts. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Get into that. Packers getting ready to take on the Miami Dolphins. And we were talking about that a little bit earlier. A lot of people chiming in on that as well. Where here's the thing. When it comes to that particular game, there's not many people that think that the Packers should even come close to losing to the Dolphins. Some people are kind of scratching their head going, well, if they lose to the Dolphins, it's the end. Just fire Mike McCarthy before they even get down the tunnel. But in the grand scheme of things, I think this is one of those games that this to me is like San Francisco going in, and I hope it's not like San Francisco coming out. And by that I mean they should have beat San Francisco. San Francisco's a decent team. They're not a great team. And the Packers had no business allowing them to hang around to a final field goal. And Mason Crosby kicking that. And now, it worked out great for Mason coming off of that, you know, less than stellar game that he had in Detroit. So he comes back and he wins that ball game. But they had no business going toe-to-toe with San Francisco. They should have beaten San Francisco pretty handily. And I kind of have the same feeling about the Dolphins. Now, the Dolphins did get off to a good start this season, but they have fallen on some harder times here as of late. They're coming into Lambeau Field, in which it's going to be cold. It's not going to be conducive to Miami Dolphins football type of weather. So they've got that going for them. And in addition to that, they should be a better team. They should just flat out be a better team. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Lee on the east side. Lee, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on, man? Lee. Put Lee back on hold. KJ in West Dallas. KJ, what's going on, man?
What's up, Big Bill? I was surprised you weren't on the ballot for governor, man.
You know, I should have been, but you know what? I got other things to do and bigger fish to fry.
All right. Well, next time I want to see your name.
I got too many skeletons in my closet, although in today's day and age, it doesn't matter anymore, you know?
Yeah, no. Heck no. Nothing matters anymore. Did you see the story where they elected the guy who died, the brothel owner?
Yeah, they elected a pimp. Dies.
Yeah, a pimp.
Yeah.
Owned a brothel, man.
That's all right.
And
well, Milwaukee elected a guy that was in prison for extortion at one point a few years back.
Sure.
You know? So, it is what it is.
Right. So listen, man, on the Packers, this should be a winnable game, man. I'll tell you what, if they don't win this game, Bill, if they don't beat Brock Osweiler at home, the heads are going to get chopped. I'm telling you. I mean, this is one of the games that is a have-to-win game. You have to win this game at home.
I agree.
Especially going on the road and playing on Thursday night in Seattle. I mean, coming off of a loss, this will make three losses if they don't win this game. I think it has a lot to do with the game plan. If they run the ball, Bill, they should beat them handily. If they get out there and Aaron Rodgers starts flinging the ball all over the place, I don't know what might happen. You know, seriously.
Right.
And look at his trajectory on his ball, especially in the pocket. You know, he's always been an accurate pocket passer, as you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
His release is different, Bill, this year. It just doesn't.
He's throwing off his back foot a lot.
He's floating the ball, man.
Yeah.
These teams, defenders are picking up on that. I mean, Bill Belichick said something during the game on, you know, NFL film. So, yeah, man, they should win, by a touchdown at least.
I'm hoping. That's what I think. Appreciate it, man. He drops off. You get on board, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. In the last six contests against the AFC East, the Packers 4-2. The Packers have won three consecutive home games against the AFC East as well. And in addition to that, they're 1-1 against the AFC East teams this season. Jimmy Graham totaled 10 receiving touchdowns in 10 games played against the AFC East in his career, including a touchdown in each game against the division this series. In four of the contests, Graham has recorded a couple of TDs. They should win this game. They should win this game. By the way, under Coach Mike McCarthy, the Packers 61-34-1 in regular season games, 9-16, a .641 winning percentage that ranks number three in the NFL since 2006. And dating back to 2008, Rodgers is number two in the NFL with a passer rating of 103.4 in the second half of the season. So when you talk about kind of getting things together and winning football, Mike McCarthy's teams have played traditionally better in November. Now, obviously, the first game in November didn't go their way, but they have traditionally played better as the season has gone on, and Rodgers has registered a passer rating of 100-plus in six of the last eight games he has played in during the second half of the season. He's got a 126, a 136.6, a 150.8, a 108.9, and a 116.7, and a 115 passer rating in those games. And they've got a long tradition of playing well at Lambeau Field, especially late in the season. 3-0-1 record. The Packers are one of five teams not to lose at home so far this season, along with Carolina, Kansas City, Los Angeles, the Rams, and New England. So all points in the direction of the Green Bay Packers getting a win, and they should. They should beat this team, without a doubt. But this has not necessarily been the easiest of seasons to predict. This one is from Mark, who says, a big fan of the Milwaukee Bucks, looking forward to them taking on Golden State tonight. If they stay within five of Golden State and it's hard fought, I'll consider it somewhat of a victory for this young up-and-coming team, especially on the road at the Oracle, a very tough place to play. I think the Packers are going to get a win 27-17, but it shouldn't be as easy as that. The Packers right now are a struggling football team, and they look as if they're trying to get over the mountain. They just can't see to the other side. Appreciate the email. This one's from Brad, and Brad writes, I think the Packers are going to get a win. Miami is not that great of a football team. You can't beat Brock Osweiler. Mike McCarthy should be ridden out of town. This one's from Dan, who writes in the Wendy's email box as well. He says, I think the Packers are a good football team. They're about ready to explode. Aaron Rodgers seems very, very frustrated, and we know that Aaron gets frustrated and puts a chip on his shoulder and begins to play better, he will elevate the talent around him. Isn't that what a great quarterback is supposed to do? If he can't do it, then what are they paying him $170 million for? Which, you know what? That was brought up to me the other day. The question was, if Aaron can't make the guys around him better, then how much should they have paid Jordy Nelson over the years? And I tend to disagree. I think Aaron Rodgers is a terrific quarterback. He's made some incredible plays. But one of the areas that he's been the best at has been on the move. And this year, the on-the-move numbers are down. That's what has made him human, so to speak. Let's go to Scott, listening to us in Appleton. Scott, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on, man?
Hi, Bill.
What's happening?
I'm excited about the Golden State game, but not necessarily this one. I'm more interested in the one on December 7th when they come to the new stadium down there in Milwaukee. That'll be a great game there, great atmosphere. Tickets will be a premium for that game, just like the Packers at the Patriots. I don't know if you went online at all for that game. They were like 700 and up.
Oh, I bet. They really build that as Brady and Rodgers. I mean, if you went to see Brady and Rodgers in this shootout, you probably ended up being pretty disappointed because it didn't turn out that way. I mean, Brady and company, they ended up doing a lot of checkdowns, a lot of running of the football, and really kind of controlled things while Aaron Rodgers and company just struggled. He was throwing balls out of bounds, and it just didn't turn out to be the shootout everybody thought it was going to be.
Well, anyway, Bill, I thank you for being strong on the Twitterverse because sometimes I get a little bit out of hand, but some of those people are absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
I give you credit for hanging in there and battling back and standing up where you can stand up. And I don't know, if the Packers lay an egg against Miami, I don't know, McCarthy might be in trouble for
If they lay an egg against Miami, I would say that's the last nail in the coffin. Wait till the end of the season, and then there's going to be a lot of change at Green Bay. I would completely agree with you. Appreciate the phone call. This is a must-win game more so for Mike McCarthy than it's just for the Packers organization. I mean, I hate to say that, but it is. 855-830-8648. Hey, I want to let you know, the Van Horn truck people, boy, I tell you what, they've got a great thing going on out there, the 90-day test drive. And I just did this, and I'm in the midst of doing it as we speak, as a matter of fact. Go to vanhornauto.com. You can find out what vehicle gives you the 90-day test drive. If it's a Jeep Grand Cherokee, if it's something else like the Dodge Ram 1500 with the Hemi in it, you can also check out the Caravan, the Charger. There's a lot of different vehicles that qualify. Basically, it is what it is. It's the way it sounds. 90 days. You like it, keep it. You don't, bring it back. No additional commitment, basically. And that way you're driving the thing around the block, and then you're driving it further and further and further, and you're putting some miles on it, and you're getting the feel for the vehicle. And if you like it, great. And if you don't, no big deal. Find out what qualifies for the 90-day test drive at vanhornauto.com. That's vanhornauto.com. It's exclusive, by the way, to vanhornauto.com. They have a location in Plymouth. They have one in Stoughton, one in Manitowoc, all over the state. And you can check it out for yourself again. Go to vanhornauto.com, and I ended up going with the Dodge Ram 1500, and I've said it all along. It's like a luxury car wrapped in a truck. It is fantastic. But if you're looking for a car, you're looking for a van, you're looking for something else, they have it all. Go to vanhornauto.com. That is vanhornauto.com, where everybody is an owner. So when you walk in, you're talking to somebody in the sales department, they're an owner. Finance, they're an owner. Front office, HR, they're an owner. They're all owners. It's great. It's a really solid company. Again, vanhornauto.com. Chris Raybon, senior NFL analyst for the Action Network, co-host of I'll Take That Bet on ESPN. He is going to join us talking some lines coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. My lady, come,
my lady, you're my butterfly. Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show. We are on the air. We are glad you are on board. As always, want to remind you that coming up on Monday night, it's the Lodge Kohler kickoff. Going to be live at Tavern in the Sky at Lodge Kohler in Green Bay. And it's 6 to 7. Every Monday night, we hope to see you as a face in the crowd. Come on out and say hello. Not sure who our guest is going to be yet. We'll find out here hopefully in the next 24 hours. But it's always fun. It's always a good show. Come on by. Lodge Kohler. That is a Lodge Kohler kickoff coming up this Monday night. See as a face in the crowd there, 6 to 7, right across the street from Lambeau Field. Hope you can make it. Time to talk about some of the lines that are in the NFL this weekend. Chris Raybon, senior NFL analyst for the Action Network and co-host of I'll Take That Bet on ESPN, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Chris, how's this week looking for you? What's going on?
Hey, Bill, how's it going? You know, I got that Jets-Bills game circled on my calendar. I don't know about you.
Well, you know what? In a betting world, when you have two bad teams, any inside edge can make you money, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I think this over-under is it's creeping down. It's probably going to close, you know, in that 35, 36 point range. I actually think there might be a little value to bet the over there because, you know, we talk about this all the time. It's not just offenses that score points. When you have turnover-prone quarterbacks, you can see a lot of points on defense, special teams as well.
The one of the games that is interesting right away is the game that's coming up tonight, Carolina and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh at home, giving away 7. Carolina, they're playing some good football right now. It's like every time I start to believe in them, they let me down, and every time I start to kind of feel that they're going to go by the wayside, they start to play good again under Cam Newton. So give me your thoughts on this game, 7.5. I think 7, actually, is what Pittsburgh's giving away.
Well, actually, so the line opened at 7. It has since been bent down.
Oh, yeah, it went down. I see that. Yeah, it just changed.
Yeah. All the way to 3.5. So a lot of public support for the Carolina Panthers. I actually think there is some value here on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Here at Action Network, we have our power ratings, which you can use to kind of derive a spread, and we have them as a 4.5-point favorite. So this is a situation when the public has kind of overreacted a bit to, you know, what we saw in the last game or last couple of games with Carolina and bet that line down a bit too far. I think at home, Pittsburgh is still in a good spot. And going back as far as we have tracked in our BetLab database to the early 2000s, home favorites on Thursday night football are actually covering at a 61% clip. And I think that's for a couple of reasons. One, when you're the when you're not the better team and you're going on the road on a short week, it is difficult to kind of live up to expectations. And the game doesn't have enough of a chance to kind of be bet, you know, by people who love to just kind of hammer these favorites when you talk about kind of a three days between games as opposed to a whole week. So I think everyone's kind of hopping on Carolina here. I think you want to take that value with the Steelers.
Boy, that number, talking about Thursday night, doesn't make me feel good with the Packers going on the road next Thursday night to take on the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, you know, that's always a tough place to play as well up in Seattle. So it'll be interesting to see what that line is. But, you know, first they got to take care of business at home against the Dolphins today. And that spread has actually been bet up from 9.5 to 10. So kind of a little bit much there. You know, 10-point spreads, you know, after favorites had a very good week, I think you're going to see some of these lines inflated quite a bit. And you're going to kind of want to watch out for, as they grow, you can maybe get a half a point or a point of value by taking some underdogs.
Then you've got Atlanta on the road. Cleveland, the only games they've won have been at home, but they pretty much jettison everybody. Cleveland started out getting 4.5 on this one. And Atlanta's, you talk about a struggling team this year, but they're still giving away 4.5 on the road in Cleveland, huh?
Yeah, so Atlanta, you know, if they win this game, they're back to 5-4, and you know, I think they'll be in a good spot considering everything that's gone wrong for them with their defense. Not much public support at all for the Cleveland Browns. 82% of the betting tickets and 91% of the money is on the Atlanta Falcons here. So public and the sharps are on the same side. Where there is kind of a little bit of sharp action is the over/under in this game. So I mentioned Atlanta's defense. Cleveland's defense has also been poor against the run, and 67% of the tickets are on the over, so that's kind of, you know, normal. People like to bet the over, but 92% of the money is on the over as well, so that signifies that there's some big bets coming in at over 50.5 right now.
Then you continue to move on. New Orleans on the road taking on Cincinnati. New Orleans is playing some fantastic football. They're giving 5.5 to the Bengals. I think that number should actually be higher. Cincinnati, especially in big game situations. Now, granted, it's 1 o'clock or you know, Eastern Coast time on a Sunday noon on here Central time, but Cincinnati's not playing good football right now, and they've also lost AJ Green.
Yeah, that's the tough thing. This line is actually. I see it at 5.5 right now, so it opened at 4.5. It's been bet up a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if it closed at 6 or 6.5, something like that. I actually think there's a little bit more value on the over-under in this one as well, because you mentioned it. Without AJ Green, Cincinnati is not going to be able to live up to their number four ranking in explosive passing plays. And that when you're betting these over-unders, that's kind of what you're, you know, kind of looking to avoid if you're betting on the under. You're trying to find teams that are going to have to kind of move the ball down the field a little bit slower. And AJ Green was responsible for 40% of the air yards. Without him, it's just going to be tough for them. And let's not forget, New Orleans also the top run defense in the league. So New Orleans can score a lot of points, but I don't know if Cincinnati can.
A couple of games that I have interest, obviously Detroit's on the road in Chicago. Chicago's giving away 6.5. That's because that defense has just, I think, been so good, and Trubisky hasn't done anything crazy stupid. He's put up a couple of decent number games. But, boy, you talk about Detroit being a disappointment so far with Matthew Stafford and company, but they're getting 6 on the road in Chicago.
Yeah, and this is one where you actually do see some sharp action coming in on the Detroit Lions here. The Bears getting about 2/3 of the betting tickets, but only about half of the money. And I think the spread is a little large. This could be a low-scoring game. When you have a low-scoring game, it's harder for the favorite to kind of separate as much. And so I think this could be a situation where Detroit is a little bit undervalued, but you mentioned it, you know, just not really – things not really coming together the way they had hoped for Matthew Stafford. And I think, you know, without Golden Tate last week, it was really problematic for him. I think he took those 10 sacks, and I think a big part of that was not having Tate as that quick outlet guy to kind of get the ball to under pressure. So that's going to be interesting to watch with Khalil Mack looking like he's going to return.
Seattle on the road. They're taking on the Rams, and they are 9.5-point dogs in this one. Because what happened to the Rams last weekend in New Orleans, is that too big of a number?
I think it's too big of a number regardless of what happened last week. You know, Seattle is a very competitive team. They did lose by 11, 28, 17 at home to the Chargers, and I think that's part of what's going into it. But if you saw that game, you know that the Seahawks had a chance to score points, you know, right at the end of that game and just drop the touchdown pass. So I think this number for a competitive Seahawks team, I know they're going on the road, I just think that's a little too large. I've seen the number at 10.5 in some spots. I would definitely take it at that number with Seattle playing better football than I think anyone had thought they would.
Another good game, Dallas on the road taking on Philadelphia. The number's gone up. Philadelphia started at 6.5 now, or 6 under. Now they're giving away 7, I believe, in this one, if I'm not mistaken. You know, what has fallen off? What is the Dallas Cowboys? Where have they fallen to? Because just a couple of years ago, it was all Zeke and all Dak, and now they're a team that seems to be ready to fire their head coach, even though Jerry Jones says he's not going anywhere. But it seems like things are ready to be shaken up in Dallas.
Yeah, I think people are just tired of the same story every year where, you know, Dallas, you know, the NFC East is wide open every year, and yet Dallas kind of has these games where they just don't fully take advantage of it that happened on Monday night against the Titans. And you know, if this line, though, it's up to 7.5. I think if that keeps growing, I think there's probably value on the Cowboys. I don't necessarily think the Eagles at this point should be favored, you know, by 8-9 points against anybody. It's kind of some recency bias from what happened on Monday night. But I do think Amari Cooper helps this passing game for Dak Prescott. It's just the issue here is Sean Lee. Looks like he's going to be out again for an extended time. So that's what you worry about with Dallas, is that can that defense continue to hang in there with no Lee and with the offense not really controlling the ball as well as they did when they were, you know, kind of at their best.
Then you've got the game here in our own backyard. Ryan Tannehill is doubtful. Looks like it's going to be Brock Osweiler. The Packers giving away 9.5 right now in this one. Is that too much?
I think it is. It's just too much. You know, anytime you see these double-digit spreads, unless it's just a complete kind of, situation where, you know, like maybe you have the Buffalo Bills or somebody like that, a team that really you don't have any confidence in, I think you want to kind of avoid these spreads. I mean, if you think about it, Miami actually has the better record than Green Bay. So, you know, 9.5 is a lot of points. There is a lot of public support on the Packers, of course, so 79%. Of the bets and 85% of the money coming in on Green Bay, where the sharp action is again, the over-under. You have half of the tickets coming in, you know, on the over, half coming in on the under, but 80% of the money on the under in this game.
Chris, always a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you again next week as we get it on again, okay?
All right, go take care.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. Chris Raybon, senior NFL analyst for the Action Network, co-host of I'll Take That Bet on ESPN, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years, they're beginning to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE to go to schneiderjobs.com. I take the Packers to win. I don't think I take the Packers to cover by 9.5 in that one. When we come back, a team that has been covering by a lot, UW-Whitewater football, their head coach, Coach Kevin Bullis, joining us next on the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show on the air. We are glad you are on board today. Hopefully, you're enjoying yourself. Give us a shout, head coach of UW-Whitewater, Kevin Bullis, now joining us. Coach, how you doing today?
Hey, doing fantastic, Bill.
I am. I'm going through your numbers, man. I'm like, wow, you guys are averaging 41.4 points per game, giving up just 4 points per game. You've outscored opponents 373-43. What a tremendous season! But even though Platteville has kind of fallen on hard times, you got a tough one coming up on the road this weekend.
Oh, there's not a question. The history of this game is bizarre. You go back and look many, many years. It doesn't matter what either team's record is. It's going to be a dogfight on Saturday.
Platteville was a team that some of the recruiting changed, some of the eligibility changed. They were really on the rise. So when you look at this team and you see, because a lot of these games that they're going, I mean, they just lost to Stout by 5. The week before that, they ended up getting beat 35-28. They've lost some close games. They played tough with Oshkosh for a while. They're a team that seems like they're there, but they just haven't been able to close some things out.
And that's exactly what it is. I mean, there's a lot of parity in our league right now, Bill. There's a lot of parity. And so you're seeing a lot of close battles. You're seeing a lot of what people perceive, you know, the common person perceives as upsets. And I'm just telling you, the league is spooky right now. Anybody can beat anyone any given day.
So talk about a little bit about your team and about things that are really flowing. It seems like offensively you made the coaching change this year. Your offense got into a rhythm, but your defense has really kind of thrived. You've been big on takeaways, not turning the ball over. It seems like the key things that any coach is going to preach at any clinic, you guys have been able to execute pretty well this year.
You know, the big thing defensively we look at is we're going to shut down a team's run game and not give you long passes, which is going to be key on Saturday. Offensively, the thing I'm really excited about is our balance, is our ability to be able to throw it to multiple different receivers, to be able to have multiple different running backs in the backfield. And that type of balance is really hard to defend.
The prospect of an undefeated season, I'm sure your seniors specifically have circled this and said that this game is for – you always talk about the importance of every game, but this game, for them to be able to achieve that on their way out, this has got to be huge.
Not a question. So many people think that, you know, okay, they got the league taken care of. They've got an automatic bid to playoffs. This game really sets the tone for what playoffs could look like for us. And obviously just the rivalry of this game. We're playing for the pickaxe. The great tradition of the George Chris Bowl is awesome. And so, yeah, you're right. This game is circled for those seniors.
So what does this game mean to the seniors other than the undefeated season, knowing that obviously you're going to have some postseason implications coming with this game, and you know you're going to be moving on. But what does this mean, last regular season game for your seniors?
To them, it's ultimately to conclude this thing correctly, and they've done a great job of staying focused in each week and preparing themselves and their teammates for the next battle, and you don't want to put a blemish on that. And you're right, it gives us puts us in a position to host some home games for playoffs, which that has huge implications when it comes to playoffs.
You got this game coming up on the road. You know it's not going to be an easy place to go in and get a win, but your team has been able to persevere over a lot. What's the if you had to talk about something you've learned about this team last season to this season, what has it been?
Gritty. They are gritty guys. and I'll tell you, it starts really last year in 2017. We're 1-3 at the beginning of that season. And I'm greatly indebted to those 2017 seniors because they were the ones that grabbed the bull by the horns and grabbed this team with those juniors that are our seniors this year. And they're a gritty group that can handle adversity. And that's, as you know, that's the key thing in sports. Can you handle adversity as a team?
Coach, looking forward to it. The George Crist Trophy, the pickaxe at stake. It should be a good one. And next week we start to talk postseason. Can't wait. Looking forward to it. Best of luck to you guys down there in Platteville this weekend.
Thank you very much, Bill.
All right, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. The rivalry game dedicated back in 1993. It's the Miners Axe, by the way, that became the rivalry trophy. Following the game, Crist's wife, Patty, presents the winning team with the axe and recognizes the offensive and defensive most valuable players for each team. It's a big tradition down there. It's always a big game, and you hate to use the old cliche of throw the record books out the window, but that's the truth in this one. The Warhawks have won 23 of 25 George Crist Bowl games. So there you have it. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We got a lot more yet to come. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.